26th chapter of Matthew's account. Getting down, beginning with verse number 36, and stopping at verse 40, and the question that our Lord asked the disciples, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour?" Let us pray. Our Father, unto thee belongeth all honor and glory and praise to the Lamb of God for the great work that he did coming into the world, dying daily till that last breath was taken on the cross, and he said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And now we in him, trusting, believing, following, striving to serve, what we are is because of what he has done, thou hast done, the Spirit of God working in us. We did not get here by our own effort. Redeeming grace is our song now and shall be throughout eternity. There we'll sing of thy amazing grace bestowed upon us. My Father, if it's pleasing to you, would you fix every heart here? To enter in this place, here in Matthew and in Luke, their attention be held upon thee. My Father, give wisdom to speak today that holy unction, that liberty, speaking, "Thus saith the Lord." And would you fix every heart, preparing them to receive, that the word of God would not be in vain to any in this place. Give help for thy great name's sake, for the honor and glory of thy Son, the exaltation of him in our hearts. It matters not that he is exalted in glory. It matters in time if we're striving for that. May he be exalted. For we ask these things in his name. Amen. Matthew 26, beginning with verse number 35. Peter said unto him, "Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee." Likewise also said all the disciples. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, that is, all prayers, and saith unto his disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee. Mark identifies them as James and John. You know that they are the sons of Zebedee. So our Lord took these three and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Now, it wasn't in that instant right there that he began to be sorrowful. It was when they recognized this in their Lord. Verse 38, then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto his disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, Peter, you said you'd go and die for me. Couldn't you watch with me? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now, before getting into our thought for the morning, for this that I have read, and then another place in Luke, for it to have meaning to you, significance, something worthy of your attention. First of all, there's got to be life within. Won't ever mean anything to you until you have life within. Jesus Christ has got to have that first place, that special place in your heart. And in what we've read and shall read, and hopefully what I will be able to say to you, you cannot have a heart that is dull and heavy. Remember in Exodus 6 when Moses said, God's going to deliver you, and they all got excited and thankful. And they began going through some difficult times. He comes back and says, God's going to deliver you, deliver us from this land. But he said, they hearken not unto Moses for anguish of spirit and cruel bondage. What they were under, physically, mentally, within that their spirit, was just so full of anguish. They couldn't hear. Now I'm taking into account within is the reality of life within you. If it's not, I don't think this will have anything to say to you unless God would now quicken you and give you a new heart to understand. Within must be the reality of divine life. That life must be maintained in the closet. You go to the table, I don't know how many times a day, but you go because your body needs to be replenished. You've spent the last meal, the energy obtained from it, it's gone now. And you need to go to the closet, and it needs to be on a regular basis. And there speak with your Lord. And then, as one of the old divines said, then I open my Bible after I've been to the closet and talked with the Lord. I open my Bible and God talks with me. In the closet, your needs are expressed. I hope that's in order that they should be, considering Christ, His exaltation, the kingdom of God, the will of God being done here on earth as in heaven. Then your needs, personal, your needs in the family, your needs in life here, is all expressed. But the one thing that is needed above all this is personal communion. You in fellowship and God in fellowship with you. I can't remember if it was Thomas Watson. I know it was one of the old men. Was sitting one day in his study on a Saturday preparing for the message for the next day. And he had a little girl that walked in there and she just stood there waiting, looking at him. And finally he just stopped and put down his pen and said, "Do you need something, child?" And she said, "No, I just want to be with you." Has that ever come out in you in the closet? "Don't need anything, Father. I just want to sit here with you. You can go on doing what you're doing. I won't bother you if you'll just let me be with you." It is said of David that John mentioned that he went in and he sat before the Lord. Now these are the same three that we looked at last Lord's Day that Christ took with him high into a mountain apart. And there in their presence he was transfigured. Now remember what Luke has told us. "Unto whom soever much is given, of him much shall be required." There on the mountain, his face did shine as the sun. His raiment was white as light. Luke said his raiment was glistening. That means like a flash of lightning. How bright that is. Mark said that his raiment was as snow, that no fuller on earth could ever get it anything that clean. That's how bright, that's how flashing, glistening that was, his raiment and his face. You say, "Well, all of them are saying something different." Well, it's like you taking up a diamond and you can turn it one way and you'll get a ray of light. From that angle, you can turn it just a little and there'll be another ray of light. And every way you turn it, you can't come to the fullest of the Lord Jesus. And it does not matter that these three said different things. They're all talking about the Lord. Now there on that mount, much was given to you. Much has been given. Not me, not because of me. God has given you much. Yet none of us should be amazed at how quickly we forget what He's done. Do you have a greater insight into the being, into the character of God today than you had 5 years ago? Do you? Has God turned the brilliant diamond reflecting light one way, turning it another, reflecting light, brilliant any way you turn it. Has God been teaching you? And you see in this, have you finally come to the truth of Scripture that salvation is of the Lord? And when He gave you life, you were dead in trespasses and in sin. You was in that condition. God saved you based solely upon what Christ did in coming to the earth, fulfilling the law, and dying that you might have life. God gave you life. God is giving you life abundance in abundance and teachings that He's brought us to see. So knowing what you do of Him, knowing a little of what He did, how oft do we, when told to watch, drift off asleep? When those three looked in His face, they saw in that sorrow which now had already begun to settle in upon Him. We've seen that, not to the degree they did, but maybe even more so, for we have a more sure word of prophecy than what those three got there on the mount. But we forget Him. He'll alarm you, wake you up, but we forget Him. Do you remember the time when your soul was in deep distress? Maybe because you were lost, I don't know. Maybe because there was a family member in a bad condition. One dearer to you than your own life. Do you remember maybe a devastating trial? Within that framework of that trial, grief and anxiety that nobody knew about, you couldn't tell anybody but your father. And all but despair had almost gotten you. You could see no way out. Remember when He came and gave you a new lease on life here that you thought you'd never have. And then you grew careless again. Your outward way of living. Children, we should abstain in public even from the very appearance of sin. But we grow careless. And we get to that point where the day's about me. Just about me. Maybe your heart's grown lukewarm. Maybe the closet has heard no cry of repentance from you in a good while. No tears have been shed. And then the Lord sent a messenger to alarm, to awaken. Then the deep sorrow now felt because you had forgotten Him. You remember the promises you made to the Lord if He would do thus and thus for you? Just save me, Lord, and I'll live for You. I'll spend my life serving You. If He would raise you up out of that dark, dark cavern that you were in, out of that deep pit that you had fallen into, Maybe that alarm would come by an afflicted child. And you'd see, I did tell God this back then, but I've forgotten him. Lord, forgive me. You've got to do that before you can pray for that one that is so needful in prayer. Or maybe one day you out in the middle of the storm and God gave you peace. The winds had been blowing fiercely in your face, the waves so high. You thought, there's no possible way that I can ever get out of this. And there in the very middle of that, peace was granted in the depths of your soul. He may have taken the wind and the high waves away, or he may have left you in that storm, but you've got peace within, and you know everything will be all right. Maybe you're like those in Psalm 107, at wit's end. Lord, if you'll get me out of this. What did you promise the Lord when he rescued you? What new commitment did you make? I'll never forget you again. I'll strive to live for you daily. I'll do what I can that my walk in life would never bring any harm to thy name because of the profession that I've made. And you found forgiveness. Time and time again. And you lost that promise that God gave you in the middle of that storm. You forgot all about it. How long did it take you? 6 months? A year? 2 years? Peter, could you not watch with me? Peter, you made that bold declaration, though I should die, I'll not forsake you. I'll go all the way. I have no doubt whatsoever that he was sincere and honest when he made that promise. I'll go with you. Because I saw what he would do, and you will see later on. He was sincere. He was honest. Now turn with me to Luke 22. We're coming back here, so just stick you a piece of paper or something. Luke 22, beginning with verse 35. And he, our Lord Jesus, said unto them, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lack ye anything? And they said, nothing. Then said he unto them, but now he that hath a purse, let him take it. And likewise his scrip, and he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you that this that is written must be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. One day they would look, one day quickly, soon to be. They would look at him hanging on that middle cross, identified as a guilty malefactor. Had to be guilty. God wouldn't do that to a good man. God wouldn't do that to any of his children. He did it to his son. Reckoned among the transgressors. This is what you'll see one day talking to the disciples. Verse 38. And they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. And he said unto them, it is enough. And he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And here comes Peter with the rest of them. Peter's got a sword now. After all, Jesus told him, if you must, sell your garments and get a sword. So he got a sword and he took it with him in the garden, for shortly thereafter, when the soldiers lay hands on Christ, Peter takes his sword and swings at the head of one of those soldiers. What did he have to lose? You say, well, his life. Well, that's true. You're right. But he would have died a hero fighting for his Lord. And Peter was willing to do that. I'll die with you. And he took that Christ told him to get, and he used it. Do you know how the disciples so many times put their own interpretation upon what the Lord said, just like you'll do, I'll do. If you want to do something bad enough, you'll find an excuse in the Scriptures that will give you liberty to do that. You'll interpret this as best suits you. Peter, I should say Simon, meant he was going to die. Boy, he would have gone down in the history books as the only disciple of Christ that was willing to die for him. Hardly ever did the disciples, and God must stop us if we see what he's saying in what's written. Well, it's in the Bible, I know. But you can't understand. I can't. Except by the Spirit of the Lord. And those disciples, nothing caught their attention. Shouldn't they have remembered when they were moving from one place to the other? And Christ said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Well, once again, this is what he's talking about. We forgot to take bread. We didn't bring any bread. So their own perception of his words kept blocking out the true meaning of what he was saying. How is it you do not understand that I didn't speak to you about bread? I was talking to you about the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Well, the bread's all they knew. They could look at it, they could taste it, they could carry it. I wasn't talking about that, fellas. This book, my words, are spiritual. So after all he had taught them, and as the time draws nigh for him to go first in the garden, Mount of Olives, olive trees, Gethsemane, an old olive press, where they'll take those olives gathered there and bring them down to the press and press all the juice from them for its many different uses. That's where our Lord was now. A green olive tree been bearing fruit for 3 years. And now his life was about to be put out. But greater would be the light that would come forth from Calvary, from an empty tomb. So he says, get a sword. Well, like Peter, we are here too. And the Lord Jesus never rebuked him. He never said, Peter, I wasn't talking about a literal sword that you can carry by your side, that you can put your hands on and you can kill people with. I wasn't. Peter wasn't afraid of fighting like a man against all odds. Two swords, a whole group of soldiers. It's a lot easier to be a warrior on the battlefield than it is to sit quietly in your own place there all alone, warring a spiritual battle. That's where the fight is. And Jesus said, well, Paul later, one of the things in the Christian armor is the sword of the Spirit. But because they were such slow learners, he let them bring that sword, that Peter. And then when he did use it, he said, Peter, put up your sword. I wonder if Peter's beginning to get the message now. He wasn't talking about me being some brave warrior on the battlefield. He's talking about the spiritual battles that I'll have throughout life. Paul said, for we, in 2 Corinthians 10, we walk by faith, not after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. That's what God's given you. That's what God means, that you fight the devil, you fight flesh. You've got everything needful to live a life of honor and glorifying to your Lord. Jeremiah 9, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might, or the rich man in his riches. But he that glorieth, let him glory in that he understandeth and knoweth that I am the Lord. You want something to brag about, boast about, something to glory in. What God has taught you of himself and his son. Glory in the fact that you understand and that you know the Lord. You see, the only way that Simon Barjona will ever be a stabilizing rock in the church of the Lord was for him to find out he didn't have any strength in himself. Peter was one of these that was outgoing. He was the first to speak. He just had that personality. But the Lord has got to put him out on a limb. Let him get himself out on a limb. And cut that limb off. And as Simon plunges back to the earth, all his physical skills and that God gave him as far as a personality, it's all gone. Willing to fight, lay leader, bold, certain, that's just his nature by birth. But one day the Lord said, one day, Peter, you'll be called Cephas, which by interpretation is a stone. But before you're ever made strong, you've got to find out how weak you are. How helpless, utterly helpless you are. And for you to do that, and for Simon Peter to do that, all the Lord had to do, just leave him alone. That's all God's got to do to us. Just leave us alone a little while. And nature, your old carnal nature, will be out in full force directing you. We know you. You're one of his disciples. No, I'm not. No. Well, your speech, it betrays you, it gives you away. I'm not, so he curses. You think one of the Lord's disciples would curse? So he curses. Said, I don't know him. Then after his fall, when the Lord looked at him, just that look broke Peter's heart. And he went out and wept bitterly. But he had to be broken because God meant for him to be the spokesman on the day of Pentecost. Put up your sword, Peter. And God made him such a useful servant. Peter now knows the sword that the Lord was talking about buying was not a physical sword. Peter now knows that in his flesh dwelleth no good thing. And Paul writing, when James, Cephas, and John, now this is to the church at Galatia, when they perceived the grace given to me. Now those three that he called out, he said they seemed to be pillars in the church. Paul wasn't, he wasn't quick. He'll have to spend time with them, get to know them, see how honest they are, how worthy they are of his trust. They seem to be pillars. And they perceived the grace that was given to me. They extended the right hand of fellowship to me. Now if you go back to Matthew 26. Matthew 26, verse 40. And he cometh unto his disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? 1 hour. Could they not see the anguish in their master's countenance? Yes, they could. They did. Did they see there a friend just desiring human compassion and companionship? Didn't they see that in him? In him? But they couldn't go all the way with him. But he left them in the stone's cast, said, "Watch here. Watch. You've been with me for 3 years. You've heard my teachings. You've seen the miracles that I've done. You've felt personal within. You've personally felt my love. And my care and my provisions and what I got to do. You know that of me. The provisions that I've made for you throughout life. Peter, you swore your fidelity to me. I'll die for you. You swore you'd be with me through death. Could you not watch 1 hour?" Has he not done the same for all of us? Sure. A price we couldn't pay. A price we'll never know the extent of what it cost him. Even to draining the last drop of blood that would sustain his body. He shed it, taking a body of flesh that one day you might have a body fitted for eternal glory. Raise up this old dying carcass and bring it back into unity with your soul that departed. And there in that body, soul, and spirit. Do you see what he did and what he's doing? Fitting you as a vessel of mercy to show you more of that. Now when he asks one simple task, one, watch with me. He wasn't gone long. Peter, have you forgotten me? In my darkest hour, that's heart-wrenching to me. Have not I done the same? Peter, I didn't ask you to go to Calvary with me. I didn't ask it to be beaten as I was. I didn't ask you to let them strip off your clothing and you have to go in utter shame. Didn't ask that of you. All I ask, just watch. Guard yourself as a jailer would guard his prisoners, knowing that if they escaped his life, it would cost him his life. Watch with me. I don't ask anything great of you here at Kirith. Just your loyalty, your fidelity, your striving for a sinless life. So all I'm asking. Every one of you here knows the importance of a friend. One that'll be there that you can share your burdens and griefs with. Don't you? Sure you do. Well, for me, the greatest friend that could ever be for me. He came, emptied himself. His life was as a dying man from the manger. No place to lay his head. Foxes have holes, birds have nests. I don't have any place. He did it all for me. Could you not watch with me? If the time had been days, we could have seen they had a reason to go to sleep. Just 1 hour. That's all I'm asking. He came. He emptied himself, numbered with the transgressors, guilty before God and before men, forsaken by everyone, even his father. And he did it all that you might be with him in glory. And all he asked, just watch with me. When he was so worn out physically, he went to the back part of the ship and went to sleep. Didn't he get up when they called him? Didn't he arise and calm the storm that they were in? Has he not done that for you? If he hasn't, you're going into one. You're going into a storm. You're not going to see land. You're going to be tossed to and fro, up and down. And he's going to become your all and your all. But when you promised 10 years ago, or you promised a year ago, Naaman's servant said, "My Lord, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldn't you have done it?" And they struck a nerve in Naaman's heart. And he went over there and he dipped in Jordan 7 times and he came up clean. If God had asked you to do something great, wouldn't you have done it? But he just asked for 1 hour of your time. That is, in the darkest hour that he faced. All of it for me, for you. Just watch. I don't put a great amount of time upon your watching. Just watch with me 1 hour. Did not this same Jesus spend nights in prayer all alone? Next day he'd get up and press on, hungry, tired, weary, thirsty. He just had a lost sheep somewhere that he needed to get to. Supplying all your needs. None of you here like anything. I mean, you all got it. You all got it pretty good. Why don't we want something better? That's just us. And you get so entangled, as John was talking about, in life. One day alarm will go off. It'll be the Lord saying, "Couldn't you watch with me 1 hour? Supplying every need you got." And those disciples saw that anguish in his face. And surely they could hear it in his voice. Watch with me. Just a little while before he have to die. They'd heard him shortly before this. "Father, I sanctify myself for their sake." Father, I don't pray for the world. I pray for them. They had heard him talking to his Lord to his father, his Lord at that time, because he had submitted himself to be his servant. All those that thou hast given me, I've kept. None of them's lost. Father, I don't pray for the world. I pray for these that thou hast given. And yet a few hours later after that prayer, only thing he asked, just watch with me 1 hour. That's all I'm asking. Has he ever asked anything great of you? Anything that might endanger your life? Anything that would get you in trouble with the law? We're friends. Folk, you've got the greatest shepherd possible. Oh, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. You got a Savior that even the angels are desirous to look into those things that he's done for this church. But he's never asked much of you. Just stay awake for an hour. Let me find in you three a friend. Don't you see that I need one now? Such a small matter, he asked. And such a short frame of time that he asked for. Not all night. Just an hour. And yet we get so involved with me. Oh, he's the Son of God. He's already died. He's already in glory. If you got that attitude, there's no way you know him. I'm but a man. Man makes mistakes and man falls. That's true. But he intends you learn from your mistakes and your sins. He that hath friends must show himself friendly. Children, there's no greater example of anybody showing himself friendly than what Jesus did for you. Couldn't you watch with me 1 hour? Is next Sunday afternoon 2 o'clock sufficient? Is that give everybody time? I want you all to be there, your children, at John's. Everybody okay with that? All right. Lord willing, well, I see you here first, and then there. And you take home, if God didn't squeeze your heart, I don't know what it'll take. Will it take a greater trial? A greater affliction? Will you not arouse yourself, spiritually speaking? And will you not follow the Lamb of God like you said you would if he'd save you?